We had a wonderful time at Thornton Gap yesterday, and I will try to back up because most churches where I go turn the microphones off, so they don't need a microphone to hear me most of the time, so I'll try to back up a little bit. Had a wonderful time yesterday. It was good seeing all the people over there, and it's good being here. As I said earlier, I miss being up here. I'd like to come more than I come, but it seems like, I was telling Sister Betty, the older I get, I thought I'd have more time, but it seems like the older I get, the less time I got. I don't understand. Somebody told me you'd slow down when you got older. I don't know when that's going to start, so, but we'll just take what the Lord gives us and go on. My mind this morning is on something that should be dear to each and every one of you, and each and every one of you should think about how the Lord comforts His people. You know, we live in a time of turmoil. We live in a time to the point that I don't even want to watch news on TV today anymore because there's nothing but turmoil all around us. And that doesn't mean that we need to go stick our head in the ground, that it didn't happen, that it is happening. And things are going on. But most of what was going on in the world today, you can find the correlation with it in the Bible, in the Word of God. God said it was going to be that way. Mostly, and what really gets my dander up about it is, God said it's going to be that way because of who we are. We're not following God. And the God that I know of, and the God that I'm talking about, told us to follow His commandments and do the things that He asked us to do. And we will be blessed. But we decided that we know better than what God has laid out for us, and we have a better way. And then we wonder why we're in turmoil. We wonder why everything is turned around backwards, and the world looks about saying, you know, all this is going on. And the only thing I can tell you is we're not following God's Word. Now that may be harsh or hard to understand, but the God that I'm talking about, He says, I change not. I'm the same God of old, and I'm the same God of yesterday, and I'm the same God next year. I'm the same God. I haven't changed a bit. So if things are different with you, and God is telling you, I haven't changed a bit, I'm the same God. I change not. So if things are kind of tore up and messed up in your mind and your world, maybe you need to stop and take stock of what you're doing. If you want to follow along with me, I'm going to read in Isaiah chapter 43 is where I'm going to start, and then we'll see where it leads us. It says, But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Well, if that's not a blessing to you right there, we need to get up and leave. Because what God is telling you is He formed you, He made you, He called you, and He blessed you. So what more can we ask for in life than that? Not only that, God says you are His. So we are God's children. So that's where we are. That's where we need to stay. And that's what we need to remember in our life. We are God's children. We have a hope of God. We have a hope and a faith in that. But God has said, fear not. I have redeemed thee. So right away He's telling me right off the bat that all that sinful nature that I have, all the stuff that I've done that I'm so ashamed of, all those things that's happened to me in my life and happened to you in your life, God says, fear not, for I've redeemed thee. I've called you out. I've called you out. When thou pass through the water, I will be with thee, and through the rivers that shall not overflow thee, and walk through the fire that shall not burn, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. He says, all the troubles and trials and tribulations that you go through, everything that you go through, and life is full of them. Everywhere we go, it seems like we have more trials and tribulations than we have anything else. Mostly because we're not looking at the part that God says, fear not, you are mine. Most of the time in our life, we get our mind set on that what we can do and what we want to do and how we're going to go is where we have our mind set, and we forget about what God has told us to do. So God is telling us, fear not, I have redeemed thee. He says, and when the trouble comes, because God said trouble, Jesus Christ Himself said it will come. He said, because of one thing and one thing only, because you have a love of Jesus Christ. And when you have a love of Jesus Christ, it says the trials and tribulations are going to come. Because the devil doesn't want you to have a love of Jesus. The devil wants you to be miserable. He wants all the things. But you say, fear not. He said, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for a ransom, Ethiopia and Sarah for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore, I will give men for thee and people for their life. Now he's telling you right there. He said, because I love you, I'm going to send you men. Well, you know, a lot of people look at that kind of funny and say, wait a minute, what does he mean here? I'm going to send you preachers. I'm going to send you men. I'm going to send you someone. He said, I'm going to send you people. You know what? There's nothing better for a church or a preacher to have a congregation that is coming with the desire to hear the Word of God. There's a lot of people in this land that come just to be seen. But there are people who come, and I know you brothers and sisters are those people, you come to hear the Word of God. Well, what makes it that I want to hear the Word of God? I can just read it in the Bible anytime I want to. I don't even need to go to church. I can just stay home and read it in the Bible. And I can pray in my closet. I can do all these things. But God is telling you, He said, I will send you. I called you out and I'll send you men. And these men are to follow me and preach my gospel. That's what God is telling us. So the church life, what we're doing, our duty and responsibility is to go. What did Jesus Christ tell you? He said, come unto me. Well, the world thinks they're talking about, you got to come and give yourself to Jesus to be saved. That's not what He said. He said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Is that not what you're looking for? That's what I'm looking for in life. I'm going around and about, and I'm like a borrowed mule sometimes, and down in the field plowing the corn right there, and they're working me to death, and I can't find any rest in the world and everything about me. But when I decide it's time that I come unto Jesus, when I come, and most of the time, my coming unto Jesus is when I come to church, because most of the time, when I'm in the world, I'm too busy in the world that I don't take time to stop and think about come unto Jesus. That's where we need to be in our life. We need to realize we need to come unto Jesus. We need to come unto Him. He said, my burden is light. So it must not be hard to come unto Jesus. He said, it's easy, and I'll give you rest. He said, I am the Lord, the Holy One, thy Savior. He's the Savior. He's the one that's going to save you. You know, a lot of people in the world, they think that they can get themselves saved. Well, what God is telling them right here, said, I am your Savior. There is none other than me. So if you're looking anywhere else for salvation, you're looking in the wrong place. You need to look unto Jesus. He said, come unto me. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather them from the west. And I will say to the north, give up, and from the south, keep not back. Bring thy sons from afar and their daughters from the ends of the earth. God has given you a commandment right there. He's telling you, he says, you need to come on and bring your children. Bring them on with you. Come on. That's your duty. That's what He wants you to do. For everyone that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yet I have made him. Now, what God is telling you is, as when you start thinking about what man was created for, you know, that's a lot of times that comes on my mind, you know. Why would God even bother to create us? We are a hard bunch. So why would God even create us? And He just told us, He says, for everyone that I call by my name, I have created him for my glory. That's God's glory we're talking about. So what God is telling you there is we need to glorify God. That's what we were created for. We weren't created for anything else. He said, bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and I say it's the truth. What He's telling us right there, you hear everything in the world about different religions. Martha and I were talking about this on the way home. Martha, this is where it put the seed in there yesterday afternoon. Talk about the way home. There are so many different religions in the world today. There are so many things that people tell you this is how you get to heaven. or this is what you need to be doing. This is what you need to be doing. What God said, you bring them on in. You bring them on in and let them witness and tell you how what they're saying gets them into heaven. That's what he's telling them. He said, but when they come in and they hear the truth, when they hear the truth, they're going to say, this is the truth. I've said this from the very beginning of my ministry, and I believe it with all my heart and all my soul. When a child of God, I don't care who he is, what condition he's in, where he could be on the streets, laying in a corner, a wino in a corner of a drugstore, at back of a store somewhere, when he hears the truth of God, and he's a child of God, he knows it's the truth. Now what he does with it is up to him, but he knows it's the truth. I believe that with all my heart and soul. So what makes us different than they? What makes us different is God has called us out. He's redeemed us and he's shown us things that the world can't see. That's the difference between us. The world, he said, the deaf and the blind. They're not talking about blind people. They're talking about people walking around confessing Jesus with their eyes wide open, their ears wide open, and not even realizing what they're saying. I said, if the world would stop for a minute and think about what they're saying and what they're doing, they would look and see how silly it is. God is, I read you earlier, there's only one Savior. God. Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost. That's it. There is no more. And the book right here, I'll even go out here and tell you to it again. That's what's amazing to me. The world looks for salvation in everything, in every place, and everything. Most people in this land today need to understand, think our Savior's in Washington, D.C. That's what they think. That's what's going to save us. Why? They're not. Washington, D.C. is going to kill us. Going to ruin us. Because we're not looking to God. He says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. Now, there you go. He's telling you right there, we're not only a witness to God, we are a servant to God, and we were chosen of God. Now, the world don't want no part of that. They say, well, wait a minute, why would God choose me? I don't know why God would choose me. I don't know why God would choose. I don't know why God called me to preach. Because I don't have a clue. But I can tell you this. He told me to fear Him. And I fear Him in love. And I understand that if I don't do what He has called me out to do, if I don't do the thing, I will be chastised to no end. So the fear of being chastised is greater than my fear of God. But God is who He is. He said, ye are my witnesses, my servant, my chosen, that you may know and believe me. Well, how can you believe in something that you don't know? God is telling you right there. I called you out. I revealed myself to you. I showed you who I am. And not only that, ye are my witnesses. You saw it. You felt it. It moved you. Don't keep it to yourself. He says, you're my witness. You're my witness. And understand that I am He. And he goes out here even further and says, before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be one after me. There ain't nothing. But there weren't no God before, and it's the only God we got. And he says, I am God. There is no more. So if you're looking for the answers of life, or death, or whatever, it's in God. He said, there is no other. You can't find it. If you can, tell me. But God is all you have. I, the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Okay? If you're looking for salvation, he said, I'm the Lord. There is no other way than me. He said, I am the Lord. I am the Savior. I am the all in all. I have declared and I have saved. And I have shown when there was no strange gods among you, therefore you are my witness, saith the Lord, that I am God. You know, I tell people all along, I said, do you know who God is? Do you know who God is? There's a difference in knowing of God and knowing God. There's a huge difference. I was brought up and I knew of Jesus and I knew of God and I knew of that. You know, but my life wasn't quite, I just knew of it. It's the only thing I can tell you. And I would tell people I was a Christian. You know, but when you come down to it, do you know who he is? God is telling you, I'm God, and there is nothing else. And when you come to that realization, that's all you got. You know what? That is all we got. We have nothing else at all but God. So if that's all we got, maybe we need to put a little more emphasis on what we got. Because everything that you have in your life, your children, your wife, your husband, your clothes, your house, the money you have, the food you have on your table, without God, you wouldn't have it. He said, I am God. Yea, before the day I was he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand, and I will work, and who shall say, let it? He said, no one can take you out of God's hands. You know, that to me is the most beautiful message that I could receive. When you're a child of God, you are a child of God. You are his. Now, we are wicked. We're evil. We're stiff-necked. We're dogs. I don't say a whole lot for us, but that's what the Bible calls us. But we're God's. And he loves us. He loves with an everlasting love. If he didn't love us, what's the purpose of the cross? If he didn't love us, he said, I declared it. I am God. Yea, before the day I am he, and there's none that can deliver out of my hands, and I will work the work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans who cry in the ship. I am the Lord, the Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. He's telling us who he is. He says, I'm the Redeemer. I'm your Savior. I'm your King. That's who I am. Thus saith the Lord, which made the way in the sea, the path of the mighty waters, which brought forth the chariots of horses, the armed, the power, they shall lie down together, and then out shall rise. They are extinct, and they are quenched as toad. Remember ye not the former things, nor consider the things of old. This is what I have a problem with. Because I seem to can't forget the former things. Because when I come to the house of God, when I'm walking in there, all the evil that I've done just kind of washes all over me. Now God has told me, I remember your sins no more. He said, I don't remember anymore. Yet I've carried them with me. Because I remember. How many times in your life have you said, if I could go back, I would do things different? You know, it would be different if I could go back. Somebody told me that one day. I said, not me. I said, because if I went back the other way, went somewhere else, I said, I might not be where I am now. And the only place I can think about being that gives me a glimpse of heaven on earth is somewhere with God's people. Because I know with God's people, I'm going to be all right. I know when I'm with God's people that things are going to be all right. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now I shall spring forth. Spring forth, shall you not know it? I even make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. He said, I'm going to do something new. I'm going to change you. You know, when did the Lord touch you? I know you were a child of God. If you were born a child of God. If you're a sheep, you're a sheep. You can't be a goat. You weren't born a goat and made a sheep. But he said, I'm going to do a new thing. When did the Lord touch you? And the things that you used to love to do, now I hate. And the things that I hate, now I love. I'm going to be honest with you. When I was young, I thought when I was 18 years old that when I got old enough and I'd have to live under my parents' house and I got out and I was going to be a man and do anything, I'd never darken the doors of a church again. That's exactly what was on my mind. I was going to go out in the world and make a fortune. And weren't nobody going to tell me what to do. But then somewhere in my life, at some time, you know, a lot of people think you got to have a Damascus Road moment. You know, I've heard people tell me that they love God, but they never had a Damascus Road moment. Well, I can tell you right now, If you hear and understand who God is, who Jesus is, who your Savior is, and who your Redeemer is, you've had a Damascus moment, whether you want to admit it or not. God touched you and revealed it to you. So don't sell yourself short there. It says, this people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. He said, I formed these people, and they're going to show forth my praise. It says, but we go down here. You know how it is, you got to drop the shoe. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Now he said, you found fault. You've not bothered to call upon me. You're leaning on your own understanding. You think you got it. I got it. I know exactly what I'm doing. He said, but you're not called on me. You know, God has just told you, you are His. He said, nobody can take you from God. So there's my strength. Is that your strength? But he said, thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. Thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. He said, but you're afraid to call on me. You know, my biggest fear is how evil I am. And I'm not deserving to walk in the house of God. I'm not deserving a blessing. I'm not deserving anything. I deserve what's out there in the world. But God loves me. He loves you. He said, but thou hast been weary. And then he goes on here further. He says, thou hast not brought forth me, the small cattle, for thy burnt offering, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifice. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with this. And God said, I didn't even require you to bring me a small calf or burn in. I didn't require it. He said, but you didn't even do it. You don't want to. God said, I didn't require that. He said, you know. He said, neither has they brought me no sweet cane with money, neither have they filled me with the fat of their sacrifice, for they has made me to serve with their sins and has worried me with their iniquities. God said, you're not even doing anything. You're not even putting the effort. You're not even looking. Said, you just, oh well. Said, and then he goes on here, and he says, I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will no more remember thy sins. He said, I have blotted them out. You know, I had people tell me, aren't you afraid when God looks down on you? And I used to be. But then I started realizing something. When God looks at us now, He doesn't see that wretched person we are. He's looking through the blood of Jesus Christ. When He looks through the blood of Jesus Christ, you're just as pure white as you can be. There's no gall about you through the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, then he goes on here and he says, put me in remembrance. He said, don't forget about me. Is that not what's happening in the world today? They have forgot about Him. You know, we're all modern now. We got computers and we got rocket ships and we got airplanes and we got all this. You know, we don't need God. You know, we don't need none of that. We can take care of ourselves. We grow our own food. You know, they scientists today are making hybrid food. You know, they're taking stuff and making food out of stuff. I don't even know, some of the stuff they make food out of is not even fit to eat, but yet they're making it. They're making it. You know, he says, put me in remembrance. Remember God. And that's probably my biggest cry about this country. This country needs to remember God. Remember who He is. Remember what our founding fathers stood on. Remember the things. You know, they've gotten so smart now they want to separate church and state because they say you can't have two. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. It is impossible to separate church and state. If God's people are in the state, God is there. And there's no separation of it. The only one that wants to separate it is Satan himself. When God-fearing people are doing what God has directed them to do, we will be blessed. But when God-fearing people don't do what God has requested us to do, we're in trouble. I ask you to look at the land today. I ask you to look at the world today. Looks like trouble to me. It says, put in remembrance. Let us plead together. Now he's telling us we need to come together. And we need to plead together. We need to pray together. You know, in open prayer, you know, he said we need to pray for this country. Well, that's what we need to be doing. We need to come together and pray for this country. Let us plead together. Declare that thou mayest be justified. The first father has sinned, Adam, he sinned, and thy teachers has transgressed against me. He said, even the teachers are not following God's law. He said, therefore I have profaned the princes of sanctuary and have made Jacob to be a curse, Israel to be a reproach. You know, God is telling us. He said, if you don't take anything in your life into consideration, think about Israel, the nation of Israel. I say a lot of times, Israel's kind of like me, or I'm kind of like Israel. They can follow God and be blessed. And once they're blessed, they turn their back. And they're cursed. And they get so cursed and so downtrodden, then they turn and start following God again. And God, you know what? That's what's amazing to me. It goes right here, chapter 44. Yea, now hear, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. I love that. God did the choosing. Man did not make a choice here. God made the choice. The world today says you got to choose. I think one of the preachers said yesterday, what he was talking about, said if you had to make a choice between heaven and hell, who would choose hell? And you think about that for a minute, don't make good sense. If I had a choice, I'm going to choose heaven. But he said, God made the choice. He said, I have I chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee, that formed thee from the womb, which helped thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jerob, for whom I have chosen. You know, that's what I want. The point I'm trying to stress here is God chose you. You didn't choose Him. He chose you. What's even amazing about that is even this, the most wonderful thing. Before the foundations of the world, you were chosen of God. The only difference is when you are redeemed in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, redemption, that's not quite word for redemption, but when God touched you and cut that old stony heart out and replaced it with that fresh, fleshy heart, you were a changed person. You were changed. And as I say, before that happened, you knew the difference between right and wrong, but to understand the truth comes about when God decides to touch you. It's up to He does it at His own time. I was at a church down in Georgia, and we were sitting there in the church, and the woman sitting on the front pew right there, and she was sitting there with a foot propped up on a stool, sitting there, and they were recognizing her, that her membership in that church was 88 years. And the pastor of that church said, as she sat right there for 88 years. And I got to thinking about that, and I said, look all that she has seen. The joy that she's felt. The tears that she's cried. And she never wavered a bit. 103 years old. Still in church. Now is that a fortitude to go and submit yourself a living sacrifice? Makes me feel terrible sometimes when I complain about having to walk up a flight of steps to get to church because my leg hurts. 88 years old. That's a commitment. I don't know if I got it. I don't know. But I'm thinking, I said, well, I've been a member of the church some 30 years. And I've seen a lot, but 88 years. He said, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, flood upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessings upon thy offspring." I mean, God is just, everything that he's doing for you. And then we have some silly people in this world think they go about and do something for God. You know, I've had people on the street ask me point blank, "What have you done for God today?" And when they ask me, I hold my head down. Because the only thing I can think of is the sins that I've done. And I didn't do them for God. But what, you know, what have you done for God? God has done everything for you. You can't do God. Our job is to give him honor and praise. That's what he's looking for. That's what we're supposed to do. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last. Beside me there is no God." There's nothing else. Regardless of what anybody wants to say, there is nothing else but God. And we need to come to that realization that God is all we have. All that stuff that we gathered up in our life that we're here, it ain't going with you. It's going to be here. The only thing you got that's going with you is the love of God. And God is in you. That's all you're going over there with. All this stuff we got is just stuff. Vanity. "And who shall I call and shall declare and set in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, the things that are coming shall come, let them show them unto them. Fear you not, neither be afraid. Have I not told thee for the time, and I have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God I know of any." There we go. We're witnesses. We are witnesses. Do you take time to tell people about your God? About your Jesus? Do you take time in your life? I mean, I don't know how y'all are up here in front wall row, but down home, we got people bounding on the door. They come to your house, read little books and magazines that want to bring you unto God, you know. Bring you unto God, you know. I had a little girl come in there, and there was three of them, and they walked to my front door, and they knocked on the door, and they had black shoes on and black long black skirt and a white shirt, and they wanted to introduce me to Jesus. That's how they opened. They entered it. I said, and they had some brochure, and they wanted to save me. And I told them I don't want their literature. Well, one of the girls was crying. She said she had to save so many today, or her soul would be lost. Is that a burden to put on somebody? I took her little magazines, and I told her everything would be all right because I didn't want her to cry. You know? I was generous to her. I took a little magazine. She said, "Will you read them?" I said, "Yes, I'll read them." That made her feel better. That's not the burden God wants to put on you. God wants to lift your burden. God wants to take away all that. And how did he do it? By his precious Son, Jesus Christ. Think about it. Jesus Christ was at the right hand of God. And was born of a Virgin Mary. And came here on this earth. Was here for a short time. 33 and a half years roughly. Did he have to come? If he wanted to do his will, he didn't have to. But he went to do the Father's will. So he came. He died. And when they nailed him to that cross, God nailed your sins. And my sins. I see it all when you see these TV movies where they show him driving those nails in his hands. I can't think. I said, "That's my sin. That's my sin." It was nailed to the tree. And when he was there, he finished the work, a perfect work. He fulfilled the Old Testament law to a jot and a tittle. Not only that, when he gave up the ghost, the final battle was won. You know, you hear all these TV preachers talking about the Battle of Armageddon. You know, there's going to be one great big battle that's left in the land today. God's people on one side and Satan's people on the other side, and Armageddon. And they're going to meet and have this great battle. And which side wins is going to be the one who takes over the world. Well, that's just hogwash. Jesus Christ won the final battle on the cross, the battle over death itself. They took him down from that cross. They buried him in a tomb and sealed that tomb and rolled him in. And on the third day he arose. Salvation come. We now have a Savior. At that time, the whole world didn't believe it. Even Mary and those women that walked with Jesus and saw the miracles the day before prepared an ointment to carry to that tomb to rub a dead body. Even that Jesus had told them that he weren't going to be there. But them women went in all tents and all purpose to put spices on a dead body. And you know how the Lord works. We all know the tomb had a stone in front of it and it was sealed and it had guards there. And on the way walking there, they were thinking to themselves, well, how are we going to get in the tomb? I've said this before, even in my ignorance, sometimes I do the right thing because God has taken over. So he said, I have declared it. I know not of any. It says, who has formed a god of molten and graven image that it profits for nothing? You know, I have a lot of people today that tell me that they don't worship idols. And when I look at them, I say, anything you put before God's an idol. I said, if you can't worship and honor God because you got to watch a football game, you've made that football game an idol. My Bible tells me my God's a jealous God. He doesn't put up with excuses. He's jealous. He says, goes down here and further said, the smith with his tongs, both working the coals, and fashion with hammer, and work it with the strength of his arm. Yet he is hungry and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water in his faint. The carpenter is no matter. You know, you make all these things your idol. There's a lot of things in life that you make your idols out of. You know, I don't have a golden image of Buddha that I'm bowing down to, but there's a lot of people that bow down to their house or the car. They don't literally own their knees and bow down to it, but they can't do anything that God wants them to do because they're too busy working to pay for something that God blessed them to have because they wouldn't listen to him anyway. So they decided, you know, I'll buy it anyhow. I could work an extra job and pay for it, and I have a big fine car to ride in. Can't afford the gas to drive it anywhere, but I got a big fine car sitting in the yard that I can look at and make it my idol. I mean, how many people do that? What happened in America today was credit. Was pure credit. Everybody started living on credit. You know, oh, I can buy it. It's only $9.95. I can afford that. Oh, I can get that too. That's only $3.95. I can get that. And put it on a credit card. You know? But I don't have time for God, you know. Thank you, God, I got all these payments. Remember this, O Jacob. Thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. And then he goes on here again. It's verse 22. Chapter 44, verse 22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. He says, I blotted all that out. He said, I don't see it. I don't see your transgressions. He says, I blotted it out. You know, is that not enough just to get on our knees and holler Hosanna? You know, because our slate is clean. I grew up in an order where salvation was based upon what you did. Even the church that I grew up in, they had one of them scales up there behind the preaching stand, and they had over here good and bad, and they had them scales, and which way the scales balanced determined which way you was going to go to heaven or hell. There's a lot of people that believe that. But God says, I don't remember that stuff. I blotted out your sins. Your righteousness is in Jesus Christ, and He is in you. And you are in Him. You are clean. So let's quit toting the baggage around. But we need to honor Him. Honor the Father in heaven. Honor Him. It says, verse 24, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, He that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretch forth the heavens and spread about the earth myself. He said, I'm God. I've done it all. I have done everything. There is nothing for you to do. I've done it all. I've sent my only begotten Son. I've forgiven your sins. I've made a way for eternal salvation. He says, now what do you need to be doing? He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is reasonable service unto me. Well, of course, me being a preacher, I'm going to tell you got to go to church. You know, that's how we preachers are. But that's not what he's saying. He said, present your body a living sacrifice. That means every day of your life, you should be honoring and praising God. Not on Sunday morning, but on Monday morning also. Live your life the way God wants you to live. Do the things that God wants you to do. We're not robots. You know, He don't put His finger on it. He says, you do it. But He said, put me in remembrance. Remember me, God. Remember what I did for you. Remember all the things that I've done. And let that remembrance over there drive your life. Because that's what He's telling you right here. Put it in remembrance. I've done it all. I've taken care of you. I've formed you. I've molded you. I've called you out. I've redeemed you. I've loved you. I sent my only begotten Son. You need to remember that when you're in the world. Put me in remembrance. I say to you that when you put Him in remembrance and you start thinking about all those things and He's in remembrance, your life changes. Your whole direction changes. Because then you start realizing all I have, the only thing I have, the only thing I have is in God, in Jesus, in the Holy Ghost. My happiness, my health, my financial future, my food on the table, the vehicles I drive, the ability to go and come, my health, my strength, it's all in God. And when you forsake Him, you're saying, I don't want it. I do not want that. Think about it. As you go home and think about, put Him in remembrance. Put Him in remembrance. He knows who you are and He knows what you need. All you got to do is look to Him. And He will show you the path to follow. How much better can it get than that? I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't have to worry about yesterday. The only thing I do is put Him in remembrance and think about Him. Everything's going to be all right. The world paints a terrible picture of the future. But all I'm doing is looking to God. I know, as He said in His Word, when I pass through the river, when I go into fire, when I'm in the miry pit, He will carry me through. And he'll bring me out to the other side. And then he did the most gracious thing in the world that I can think of. He sent Jesus. And Jesus came and did the will of his Father and gave us the hope and the faith and eternal salvation. Our Redeemer, our Lord. Thank you for your kind attention.